Good evening, everyone, and welcome. I'd like to call our meeting to order and ask the clerk to call the roll.
Member Zuber?
Present.
Member Kermode?
Present.
Member Barbage?
Yes.
Member Houchin? Member Guerrero Salgado?
Present.
Thank you. Now, in terms of an approval of the minutes, our February 6, 2024 meeting minutes, are there any comments or questions from the board members or the public before we entertain a motion to approve? Seeing none, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
This is Laura. I move that we approve the minutes.
It's Karen Zuber, I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Public comment. This is something to read here. It says, this portion of the meeting is reserved for persons desiring to address committee members on any matter not on the agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the committee. Committee members may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the committee at a later meeting. Also, the committee may take action to direct staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Speakers are limited to 2 minutes. Does anyone like to speak at this time? Yes, please state your name before making your presentation.
Yes, my name is Daniel Rodella, and I'm a community organizer with Faith in the Valley. Thank you so much for this opportunity. This evening, I'm here to continue extending the voice of the community that is saying they want to see improvements at Ford City Park, specifically within restroom repairs. Those restrooms have been without use for a long time. They need a lot of investment there. We've conducted over 400 surveys, of which 100 community members have petitioned to the county supervisors to make investments for upgrades and repairs at that restroom, since it's part of the experience when families are going there. So I'm here to advocate for that and just to support the aspect of making investments at the park with Measure K funding. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I believe we may address that a little bit as part of the report. So let me see. At this time, we're going to have a presentation by the County Administrative Office staff on Measure K preliminary recommended budget for the fiscal year 2024-2025. Mrs. Martinez.
Good evening, committee members. My name, as you mentioned, is Elsa Martinez, and I'm currently serving as the residents of Kern County and the Board of Supervisors as the interim chief administrative officer. Sitting across me is Mr. Alex Alba, and he's currently serving as the interim chief financial officer. So first, I want to thank you for spending your evening with us, and also for continuing serving in this important committee. We have several staff members from the county administrative office, department heads, and members of the community here tonight with us. This will be the second year that we are presenting the Measure K preliminary recommended budget. You should have received a copy. And the budget was made available to the public last week at the county website, kerncounty.com, under Measure K. Tonight, we will walk you through a presentation of the Measure K projects that were implemented in fiscal year 23-24, and we will continue those projects that will continue for next year as well. And then we'll show you the new initiatives that we are proposing for next fiscal year, and hopefully we will be able to answer your questions. So, last year, we talked about roles and responsibilities, and just as a reminder, the County Administrative Office creates the recommended budget. It is a $4.1 billion budget for the County of Kern. Very important part of that budget is Measure K, and so our recommendations are based on countywide needs, available resources, public input, and direction for the board. We also administer the budget for the Board of Supervisors. Once we implement it, we need to make sure that it's still in balance throughout the fiscal year. Your committee has a very important role within Measure K. You are here to review, ensure that the budget is compliant with the enacting ordinance. You also are here to provide recommendation not only to our office, but the Board of Supervisors as well. And then finally, the Board of Supervisors will adopt the final budget in August. So the preliminary budget, what it will do, it will inform our budget that we will present to the board in June 25th. It is not the final budget. The final budget will be adopted by the Board of Supervisors in August. So last year, Mr. Service reviewed with your committee the survey results. And I think it's important to go back to those results because it's what really crafted the measure that went in the ballot and the enabling ordinance. And then we used those results to craft the priorities and the investment priorities that we used to develop the budget. So right here tonight, we're going to give you a budget overview. We're going to talk about revenues. We're going to talk about the investments that we made last year, and we're going to talk about the new initiatives. And feel free to ask any questions throughout the presentation. I'm sure I'm a very fascinating person, but I cannot talk for an hour. So this year we're going to do something a little bit different. I think it's important for you to hear both from our analysts at the administrative office that works directly with the departments that are implementing the project. So if you have, they're going to give you a brief presentation. You can ask questions of them, you can ask questions of me, or you can ask questions of our department heads that are here present. So hopefully we can make it a little bit more interactive than just me talking for an hour. So let's go ahead and start with the revenue. So as a reminder, the California Department of Tax and Fee Administration began collecting Measure K in April of 2023. When we prepared the mid-year report earlier this year, we had anticipated meeting our revenue estimate for fiscal year 2024 and using the first 9 months of collections. So after we evaluated again, we did the mid-year report, we evaluated again, we are estimating that we're going to exceed our budget estimate of $56 million, and we anticipate collecting $66 million for this fiscal year. Now, as you see in this presentation, for next fiscal year, we are being a little bit conservative. We are bringing down that estimate higher than the previous year, but only $58 million. And there's a reason for that. Part of the decline is attributed to one-time collections on fiscal year 2023. As I mentioned in the mid-year report, the majority of our collections come from business and industry, fuel, service station, building, construction. We are seeing a decline in that activity. So, and we also seen some layoffs based on industry. I'm sure you heard about some layoffs in the oil industry, and unfortunately, people have to tie their budgets, their household budgets, so we also anticipate a decline potentially in consumer spending for next fiscal year. So I would rather the report be conservative and come to your board on mid-year and make sure that we have met our estimate and potentially, enhance programs at that time rather than have to cut programs. So yes, we are being a little bit conservative, but I think at this time of the preliminary budget, that is what we should be at. So we have this table, don't worry, we're gonna go one by one for each of the projects. This is just a high level summary of the projects, including the budget for this fiscal year, the estimated cost for this fiscal year on those ongoing projects, and the requested budget for next fiscal year. So we're gonna go each one of the projects, and we're gonna have the analysts come to the microphone and just go over each one of the projects. So I'm gonna go ahead and start with the administration and oversight. If you remember last year, we had a budget of 300,000. This year, we're bringing down that budget to only 80,000. These funds will be used to ensure that our office completes, the budget, it reimburses our staff time. We also prepare the dashboard. We'll, reimburse us for the time updating our dashboard, our transparency dashboard. But most importantly, this is gonna be the first year that our auditor controller is gonna perform the audit, and we reimburse our auditor controller for that cost. But we are bringing the budget down up to only 80,000 for next fiscal year. Our next project is our economic development, and I am gonna have Bridget Goodsman, a fiscal and policy analyst, come to the microphone and kind of walk you through that project.
Thank you. Good afternoon, members of the Measure K Committee. As mentioned, my name is Bridget Guzman, and I am the Economic Development Analyst for the County Administrative Office's Economic Development Division. Thank you for the opportunity to present the Economic Development Division's goals and accomplishments for this fiscal year. The overarching goal of the Economic Development Division is to foster the conditions for a vibrant and healthy economy to make Kern County the best place in the state of California to start and grow a business. And this is made possible through a continuous effort to improve residents' quality of life through job creation and retention, stimulating the local tax base with economic activities, and strategically positioning the county and its businesses to actively compete in the economy. Kern County's economy is continuously evolving, and there is a need for a centralized and dedicated team at the senior management level that advances the county's economic development goals equitably and sustainably with all its regional partners. Since initiating the Economic Development Division, several strategic accomplishments have occurred. First and foremost, the division secured a $50,000 grant for a one-year fellowship partnership with Stanford University to strengthen data, evidence, and research in designing and implementing a policy priority. A policy priority for the division is small business assistance. And through this fellowship partnership, the division has received funding, professional services, and training, and dedicated staff support to support this initiative. And one of the principal deliverables of this fellowship is Kern County's first economic development dashboard. The dashboard is designed to provide Kern County community members and policymakers with streamlined access to commonly requested key performance indicator data for economic development. It is currently in the beta test phase and will launch before the end of the fiscal year. Your screen illustrates a snapshot of the current dashboard model, which contains 5 scorecard sections and the various key performance indicators tracked. The dashboard's principal sources are the United States Census Bureau, adopted county documents and records, and county analytics software. The dashboard consolidates the most recent data available and scheduled to be updated on a monthly basis to get that most on-time accurate report. This dashboard will also serve to track the division's strategic partnership investments, most notably with CSU Bakersfield Small Business Development Center, the Kern Economic Development Corporation, and the B3K Prosperity. Additional accomplishments of the division include the following. First, the launching of Kern County TOPS, also known as a transparent online permitting system. The TOPS project is designed to improve the quality of building permitting services for community stakeholders and staff members. Achievements to date include reinforcing partnerships with permitting departments, executing an internal and external customer survey on current processes, and generating current state process diagrams to streamline future state procedures. Another accomplishment occurs for Meadows Field Airport improvements. The division has also made strategic accomplishments, including county now development and rideshare service enhancement at Meadows Field Airport. For county land development, the division secured approximately 90% of the required surface waiver agreement for mineral right owners in anticipation of a revenue-producing asset on county land near Meadows Field Airport. Rideshare service enhancement on airport grounds include enhanced services of rideshare analytics, a concierge program, a green program to offer rides at reduced rates, and shuttle services in one of Kern County's focal transportation centers, facilitating and streamlining travel and tourism. Another notable accomplishment is the Neighbor to Neighbor grant program. The division secured a $500,000 grant in partnership with Neighbor to Neighbor, a program of California Volunteers, Office of the Governor, to provide neighborhood resiliency and economic development activities in the Kern River Valley. To date, 5 events have taken place and 14 additional events are scheduled to be implemented before the end of the fiscal year. Moving forward to partnership investment, the division has also accomplished 3 strategic partnerships with CSU Bakersfield Small Business Development Center, the Kern Economic Development Corporation, and B3K Prosperity to implement economic development programs and services that foster inclusive and sustainable economic growth in alignment with county goals and the Kern County Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy. Next year's goals are in alignment with the strategy and include the following. First, to finalize agreements for rideshare service enhancement and additional amenities at Meadows Field Airport. The division will also continue to procure grant funding for economic development activities, as evidenced by our most recent application to the Governor's Office of Business and Economic Development to expand the local immigrant community's access to business management and training programs that assist the immigrant community in managing and starting small businesses. The division will also continue to work collaboratively with the Kern Economic Development Corporation to launch a cloud-based customer relationship management platform and an economic development listing system to streamline economic development services. The division will also work collaboratively with B3K to implement programs and services that advance inclusive growth and create quality jobs. This concludes our team's remarks on economic development. We thank you for your time and welcome any questions that your committee may have. Thank you.
Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Bridget. The request for this investment is a little bit less than $100,000 than this current year. As you can see by the presentation, they have returned their investment through the grants, through the partnership. So we are very supported, and I hope your committee is also supportive of this investment. I think moving Kern County forward is going to be very important as one of our major industries, oil and gas, continues to be impacted by legislative and regulatory uncertainty. So we feel very strong about this project, and I think it's a great investment, not just, you know, for the county, but also for the community. Mm-hmm. So the next project that we are going to present is our Human Resources, Public Safety, Recruitment, and Retention, and Mr. Alba is going to make that presentation.
Good afternoon, Chairperson Barbage and committee members. This project requests an investment of $1.1 million in funding for a dedicated team of six employees entirely focused on recruiting and retaining employees to work within the public safety departments. The department's efforts have exceeded their targeted goals and assisted safety departments with recruitment to reduce vacant public safety positions across all safety departments in fiscal year 23-24. Retention targeted goals was also exceeded, and departments have experienced less voluntary separations in fiscal year 23-24, having only 99 separations across all public safety positions. The team has facilitated a streamlined application process with same-day application submission for sworn positions by partnering with county departments to not only promote positions but offer expedited testing out in the community. The team partnered with Kern County Library, Department of Human Services, Employers Training Resources, American Job Center of California, and the Sheriff's Office to promote sworn positions and meet the candidates where they live. Recruitment events were held at the following locations throughout Kern County: Ridgecrest, Button Willow, Fraser Park, Delano, Antelope Valley, and here in the County Administrative Building. Additionally, the team has attended a law enforcement hiring event at Camp Pendleton last week and also attended a hiring event at Edwards Air Force Base last year. The team today hosted an event in Shafter for public safety departments and will be in Taft next week to do the same. As the department continues to build a success from this year, they have already started coordinating recruitment and expedited testing events for next year. They have scheduled an event in August in Mojave and Roseman and in Ridgecrest in October. Joseph Ariola, our senior fiscal and policy analyst, will go over all safety departments and their efforts and achievements in our safety departments.
Good evening, Chairperson Barbich and members of the committee. The mission of our Public Safety Measure K budgets is to improve the community's access to public safety resources, build community partnerships to prevent crime, and reinforce effective and sustainable public safety outcomes. On January 10, 2023, the Kern County Board of Supervisors approved an equity salary adjustment and restructured the terms of the recruitment and retention bonuses for detention deputies, for which $7.4 million is allocated. The goal for this project is to fill vacant detention deputies to fully staff correctional facilities and allow as many deputy sheriffs as possible to move out of detention facilities and into communities. At the time of the passage, the sheriff had a 23.7% vacancy rate for funded detention deputies and a 37.7% vacancy rate across all funded positions within that classification. The department has, since the beginning of this fiscal year, added 48 detention deputies, net of all departures, reducing its vacancy rate to 9.5% to a funded vacancy rate of 14.2%, even while adding 21 funded positions mid-year. The goal for fiscal year 2024 through 2025 is to fill the remaining 37 funded vacancies and staff correctional facilities fully with detention deputies. $7.4 million is requested to continue services into fiscal year 2024 through 2025. Coordinated with efforts to get deputies out of correctional facilities and into communities, the 2023 through 2024 Measure K budget included $7,575,000 for a salary equity adjustment and longevity pay for deputy sheriffs and sheriff sergeant classifications. At the time of adoption, the department had a 14.6% vacancy rate for funded positions and a 24.7% vacancy rate for all authorized classifications, limiting the effectiveness of deputies and contributing to high overtime budgets. The department has, since the beginning of this fiscal year, added 32 positions net of departures and reduced its vacancy rate 8.3% for funded positions. Furthermore, the average emergency response time has declined down to 14 minutes, 13 seconds from a baseline of 17 minutes, 20 seconds. In fiscal year 2024 through 2025, it is the goal of the county to fill the remaining 40 funded positions, continue to improve response times, and increase the number of community contacts through community policing. $7,575,000 is requested to continue funding this project into 2024 through 2025. The Kern County Board of Supervisors approved the addition of 15 community service technicians on June 14th of 2022. Following the success of the program, the Sheriff's Office was approved for the expansion of the program through Measure K funds, adding 10 additional community service technicians in the unincorporated areas of Kern County. Community service technicians respond to non-hazardous, non-emergency calls for service, freeing up deputies to respond to community needs and emergency calls. Implementation of this program was delayed due to lengthy background checks, and onboarding. However, despite filling just three positions, the department came within 1% of its fiscal year 2023 through 2024 goal for reports and community contacts made through the program. Going into fiscal year 2024 through 2025, $960,942 is requested to staff all remaining positions. To further increase countywide law enforcement resources, improve response times, and ensure proper investigations, review, and criminal prosecutions of crime, the 2023 through 2024 budget introduced the District Attorney's Justice for Kern initiative. The initiative included startup costs for capital asset acquisitions, purchase of equipment, and ongoing staffing for investigators, victim crime advocates, criminalists, forensic lab technicians, and administrative support. The department has successfully hired all but three positions to carry out its initiative. All capital assets, including the acquisition of four patrol vehicles, one crime scene response vehicle, and the purchase of 12 radios has been completed or is in the process of upfitting. Ongoing appropriations in the amount of $4,050,649 is recommended for the staffing, equipment needs, and lease of office spaces in unincorporated Kern County through fiscal year 2024 through 2025. The total Measure K investment, The county depends heavily upon its communication system for various law enforcement, fire suppression, and general operations. Every public safety operation in the county is affected by and has a stake in the system. In addition to public safety, other county departments, cities, state and federal agencies utilize our two-way radio as a secure interjurisdictional mode of communication. The current communication system is nearly 20 years old and has begun to deteriorate. It is now at the point where replacement parts are difficult, if not impossible, to find, and most of the equipment has reached its end of support dates. This delay in replacing critical parts is eroding the overall effectiveness and public safety responsiveness. The county is in the process of replacing the system through this multi-year project anticipated to finish in fiscal year 2027 through 2028. The project includes constructing additional communication sites in Rosamond, Cuyama, Lebec, Onyx, and Paulino Pass. These new sites will expand the existing communications network that is being replaced to allow for better public safety coverage in those areas, enhancing 911 dispatch and enhance the safety of first responders. The total Measure K investment requested is $28.4 million over 4 years. In fiscal year 2023 through 2024, $5 million was allocated. We are asking for an additional $5 million in this fiscal year. That concludes my remarks on ongoing projects. I'm joined by the sheriff and DA and am available for questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
One point I want to make on the public safety communication project is that we are doing $5 million, but once that investment is done, that's going to free up those $5 million for other projects. So this is not ongoing. We are only setting aside a portion of Measure K funds. This is a $177 million project. We are only asking your committee to, you did the $5 million, additional $5 million this year. So it is multi-funded. The additional fund will be used to add location on the ones that Mr. Aurelia mentioned, which is gonna hopefully improve the accessibility and the communication in those areas where right now is lacking. The sheriff would tell you that we have areas in those communities that really need that access, where we have first responders not having access, and that puts their life at risk. So we're going to move forward. Mr. Alba is going to walk you through the fire department Measure K projects.
Thank you, Elsa. These next few projects I will discuss will cover the projects operated and managed by the fire department. But before I begin, I would like to greatly thank Chief Duncan, Chief Deputy Mitchell, Deputy Chief Linville, Battalion Chief Freeland, and Mr. Curry. The Safety Squads and Medical Unit project highlights the significance the Measure K funding has provided to the community we serve. The Safety Squad and Medical Units have shown real impacts, real success as a result of Measure K funding. This investment enhanced the level of medical care within the unincorporated area by providing advanced life support trained crew members capable of providing advanced life support intervention. The fire department implemented 2 safety squads and filled 6 medical unit positions in fiscal year 23-24. The project provides an effective and efficient model for rapid delivery of emergency medical services. This model has enhanced the department's position to strategically and operationally provide a higher level of pre-hospital care while also freeing up frontline fire engines for other emergencies. While the units have areas of service, they also rove and are flexed as calls dictate the need to move resources. In fiscal year 24-25, the project will include additional medical units and 1 additional squad. To highlight the success of this project, we would like to share a video from ABC 23 News highlighting this project.
You'll find that our firefighter paramedics will have to ride into the hospitals.
Captain Andrew Freeborn with KCFD says saving lives like this is possible because of support from county tax dollars.
Because of Measure K funding, we were able to go ahead and bring a medic squad 63 online.
The county allotted $5.2 million to KCFD to implement 2 medic squads in unincorporated areas in Kern County. And with research, Freeborn says they deployed those squads to the areas with the most need.
We're able to run statistics and we're able to see where are we most active, where are we most busy throughout the county. And for our department, it was Oildale.
Now Thomason and the rest of the medic squad can respond to more calls, like breathing issues, seizures, and accidents, which are some of the most common in the Oildale area.
And these here.
This fiscal year, the 2 squads have made a real meaningful difference in the community by already saving 11 lives. Again, I want to thank Chief Duncan and all his team for the incredible job they are doing and their success on this project. This next project invests $8.5 million to ensure that the county retains a diverse and qualified firefighter workforce that responds to emergency, fire, rescue, and medical aid requests. This proposal will continue to allow the department to pursue opportunities to retain a skilled firefighter workforce, which has been an ongoing challenge for the department. As highlighted earlier in the discussion of Human Resources Project, this will allow the department to continue to build on the success of the fiscal year 23-24 recruitment and retention efforts. This Heart Flat Fire Station project set aside $9.5 million in Measure K funding in fiscal year 23-24 to relocate the Station 11 building to a new site at Heart Flat. There are no additional Measure K requests at this time. For fiscal year 24-25. In 23-24, the site layout for the station was completed, and station design is at least 75% complete. It is anticipated that the construction will begin in early part of fiscal year 24-25, with an estimated completion in fiscal year 25-26. Now, fiscal and policy analyst Julia Carlson, who is over education and health departments, will go over a few more projects.
Good evening, Chair and committee members. As Alex mentioned, my name is Julia Carlson. I'm a fiscal and policy analyst over health and education. I'm going to start with going over the library services project, and I'm joined here in the audience with our library director, Andy Sullivan, Charmaine Mendez, who's the librarian overseeing the Measure K branches, Mark Lewis, the business manager, and Farah Doridia, who's over marketing. So preserving library services was identified as one of the investment priorities through community feedback, and last fiscal year this committee dedicated resource to ensuring the preservation of library services and expansion of services at the unincorporated branch libraries. This project is separated with funding allocations and specific performance measures at each of the 8 unincorporated branches, along with the bookmobile and a dedicated team of headquarters staff. Within the full preliminary recommended budget that you guys have in front of you, the report shows funding broken down in between each individual project, along with the performance measures for each branch location. However, for this presentation, I'm going to do more of an overview of all of the projects with the $2.7 million investment across the unincorporated library branches. The goal of this project is to expand hours at each of the unincorporated branches, ensuring a minimum of 5 days open per week at each location. In addition to the expanded hours, enhanced enrichment programs and improved services overall is expected at the unincorporated branches. Over the last fiscal year, the library department successfully opened all of the listed unincorporated branches 5 days a week. The beginning of the fiscal year was dedicated to hiring staff and ensuring the department had the staffing resources to maintain this expanded schedule. Nearly all of the positions have been filled, allowing for expanded hours and dedicated staff to improve the collection and providing marketing dedicated to these unincorporated branches. With these expanded hours, there's been additional visitors within all of the unincorporated branches coming into the facilities for various reasons, whether it's to check out a book, utilize Wi-Fi services, or come to a specific program that they may be interested in. The department conducted an additional 650 additional literacy-focused events with twice as many attendance at library events than the prior year. In addition to the programming, it's estimated that approximately 60% more books and physical materials, along with digital materials, including e-books, audiobooks, will be checked out before the end of this fiscal year, as compared to the prior fiscal year. The success of this program and the impact to the community is evident based on this tracked data. Moving into next year, the goal is to continue maintaining the 5 days open at each unincorporated branch and continue providing a variety of programs for people of all ages. The library department partners with multiple agencies providing dedicated programming for children and older adults as well. One of the individual projects that you'll see more prominent in the next fiscal year is the bookmobile. This project took some time to start up and get the bookmobile stocked and outfitted and prepared to be able to be deployed out into the community. The bookmobile will run for 4 days a week at 6 different locations across the county. And you can expect to see the bookmobile out and about in the coming months. This bookmobile, as I mentioned, will have 6 different locations, and it'll all be dedicated to serving communities that currently do not have a dedicated neighborhood library. Now, this last slide for library services shows an overview of the tracked performance measures across all of the unincorporated branches and including the bookmobile as well. The breakdown by location, as mentioned before, can be found in the complete preliminary recommended budget document. This slide also shows a few of the advertisements for a few of the programs that were at unincorporated branches. As mentioned, with the dedicated headquarters staff, they have a dedicated team to programming and for marketing for this as well. So some of the ones on there includes a local author fair and then story time in the park, just to highlight a few of the additional programs that they've had throughout this fiscal year. That concludes my prepared remarks for the libraries, and I'm open to answer any questions.
I do have a question. Will you be using the bookmobile for community resource fairs to educate the public on what the public libraries have to offer?
The bookmobile is, yes, in a sense. It really is its own little library branch. And so it'll be going to the various locations. They'll be bringing those services to the communities. Library staff, correct me if I'm wrong here, but they'll be doing their own programming things there, and they will have advertisements and sharing other opportunities for other programming at the other branches as well.
Yes.
Yeah, if you want to expand on that, I'll invite our library director up.
Thank you. Sometimes it's different. It's easier to bring the library to the, like, during a community resource fair.
Yeah.
And to show them how simple it is, you know. We've had a lot of families in our district come and say, well, we can't go to the public library because we don't have the funds to pay for the yearly, you know, to become a member of the library. But there's a lot of misinformation out there. So it'd be nice to see the actual bookmobile, you know, come out to these community resource fairs and really school people on the community on that it's actually free. It's a free service. And what else you have to offer? I know you have partnerships, like I want to say it was In-N-Out or...
We do. We have a reading
challenge.
There's like
so many different partnerships, and that could encourage families to push literacy. You know, the schools... For those of you that don't know, I'm on the board for the Bakersfield City School District. So when we're talking to our families on literacy, on reading, how important it is, when we give them that information, it's different. But when it comes directly from the source, it's much more understanding.
Agree 100%. My name is Andy Sullivan. I'm the director of the Kern County Library. One thing to keep in mind with the bookmobile, it's considered a mobile branch.
Right.
So it has specific stops and time frames, and those can't deviate. So like the Tuesday through Saturday. However, it could be used, Wednesday through Saturday. It could be used on Mondays and Tuesdays for outreach events. And I think that's what Julia was alluding to. So we are able to go to that. We will also have a van that we call the Wonder Van from the Wonderful Company. And that is going to be used for outreach events, more like your school events that you're referencing.
Okay.
So we definitely see the need. We know that there's a need in outreaching to schools and to other communities that may not have a library close by.
Okay. So. And it's not just with the Bakersfield City School District, because, mm-hmm. I mean, Kern County has the most school districts in the entire state of California. I believe we have 47, 46, somewhere up there, different school districts, and some of these areas just have a few schools. But there is no school library.
Correct.
No library within that vicinity. So
Lost Hills is our busiest stop, always has been our busiest stop when we had the bookmobile out. We'd get hundreds and hundreds of kids, probably 400 to 500 kids every 2-hour stops, and we have 2 stops. So our staff have to drive, set up, conduct the visit, take down, drive to the next stop,
right.
And do it. So they only get maybe 2 or 3 stops a day, so that's something to keep in mind as well.
Okay.
So for those 4 days, they work 10 hours. I mean, they're long days.
Yes. Okay.
But yes, does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I had an additional question, I'm sorry. No problem.
I was just curious, how far from a branch library would be the determination that it would be eligible for a bookmobile service?
There is not a set date or a
mileage,
yes.
Okay.
I am just very aware of those areas in our community. I know where our bookmobile stops were before. Rosedale, Paiute, the mountains, out in the Taft Fellows area, out some out in the desert, but not so much because there are branches in most of the little towns out there. So there's not a set mileage amount.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Other question? Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you, Andy, for clarifying that. Now I'm going to move to behavioral health project. And I'd like to introduce the behavioral health staff that's here as well that can help me answer additional questions. We have the Deputy Director, Robin Taylor, and Tanya Mann, who is the Administrator over Crisis Services, with us here today. So in the previous fiscal year, this project for the East Kern Mobile Evaluation Team was approved to bring a mobile evaluation team known as MET to the Eastern Kern County area. This service is provided through a contract with an outside agency that is based in East Kern and has a specific skill set necessary to provide crisis services. The need for this service continues to be evident as calls to the 988 crisis hotline continues to come in. Behavioral Health currently has a MET team that primarily serves the Metro Bakersfield area. The service in Bakersfield area has proven its success with the number of calls regarding individuals who are experiencing a behavioral health or substance abuse or substance use crisis. And these calls have been quickly responded to by mental health professionals. Currently in East Kern, they have access to 988, as does anyone across the nation. However, in East Kern, they do not have a dedicated team of mental health professionals available to quickly respond in person through a mobile evaluation team. The Ridgecrest Crisis Stabilization Unit sees approximately 70 people per month who are seeking behavioral health care. Many of these individuals are being referred by law enforcement. In addition, the hospitals within Eastern Kern are often tasked with holding behavioral health patients until psychiatric resources will be freed up and the individuals in crisis will then be able to move over to a different facility. With the dedicated crisis team in the area, as I mentioned, the resources will be freed up and the crisis mobile evaluation crisis team will be able to come to individuals in crisis at the time when they call 988 or when the need is initially recognized. This program will ensure the calls regarding individuals in crisis receive the quick response they expect and deserve across Eastern Kern. As mentioned, this project was approved to begin in the previous fiscal year's budget. And if you recall from the mid-year report, there were initially some hurdles to cross in obtaining the qualified contractor with the specific skill set needed to provide the services in East Kern. The contract for the provider is now being negotiated and is expected to be complete with a dedicated crisis team deployed in East Kern in the coming months. Moving into next fiscal year, the goal is to establish this team with the community and ensure timely access is provided to individuals in crisis. We expect that within the next year, unincorporated residents in East Kern will have improved access to mobile crisis response in their community. Therefore, this year's Measure K preliminary recommended budget includes $1.6 million to be allocated for this East Kern mobile evaluation team. That concludes my remarks on this project, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Are there other parts of the unincorporated county that we're focusing in other than in addition to East Kern?
For this,
because it seems like we've got a lot of homeless issues right here.
Yeah, so this need is across the county, and as mentioned, we do have a dedicated team within the Metro Bakersfield area, which serves some of the surrounding areas. The need has been recognized in East Kern the most. They're further from some services. However, that doesn't mean that other areas of the county are also in need of services and, you know, potentially to expand further on that too. But for this project, it is focused on East Kern. I don't know if our behavioral health team wants to expand on that as well. They can provide more detail on the other areas.
Hi. I'm Robin Taylor, Deputy Director. Currently, we're focused on East Kern because it is the furthest away from our Bakersfield mobile evaluation team. Currently, our mobile evaluation team that is based in Bakersfield is serving the other rural community areas. And we are responding out into those areas. It was identified that the East Kern, which is the furthest distance away, had a very difficult response time. And so it was identified that that was a real high need when we identified the Measure K. So currently our mobile evaluation team that is based out of Bakersfield, that is operated by Kern BHRS, is responding to the other rural areas in Kern County. And so we continue to monitor the data and the flow of the calls and see if there's other increased needs as we see. Does that help?
How does it work in Metro Bakersfield? Obviously, we have these little county islands. That would be me. Just coordinate with the city, or how does that? How do you operate in Metro Bakersfield?
So our calls come to get the mobile evaluation team comes through 988, which anyone in the community can call 988 and request for a mobile crisis team to come. So community member, anybody can come in. You say you need a mobile crisis response, and they do a screening, or individuals go through 911 if it's an emergency, and we could use go through law enforcement. So there's two avenues to get the mobile crisis teams out to support the services. So whether it's in a rural area or in Metro, those are the two avenues to get the mobile crisis team to respond.
Okay. I had an additional question.
Yeah.
Thank you. I actually live in Eastern Kern, and so I'm very, very familiar with the problems and the challenges that we have there. And so just looking at, you know, public awareness, so right now we don't feel and don't know who to contact if we see something. You know, we've called 911, and the sheriff's department say, you know, there's nothing that they can do. And so I just wonder if there's some kind of public awareness campaign that can be made so that people do know how to reach out when they see someone in need. We still have a lady that walks up and down the street and throws rocks at cars driving by. And, I mean, it's a pretty dire need, and it would be really nice if there was a public outreach, you know, for awareness that the service is available now in the Lake Isabella area, and what are the turn times if someone were actually to call for Lake Isabella?
Absolutely. And Tanya, do you want to speak about the public awareness campaign? Because we do have a new 988 public awareness campaign that is going to be coming out. And so Tanya can actually speak to that.
Good evening, committee members. My name is Tanya Mann. I'm the Crisis Services Administrator. And Robin is correct. We are getting ready to launch a new campaign to advertise 988 and our mobile crisis response services for the county. We did obtain funding through a grant opportunity through Advocates for Human Potential, which give us dollars that we are now able to use for various advertising initiatives. So, for example, you will see decals on our vehicles. You'll see we're looking at billboards, we're looking at radio ads, even unique things like getting ads into the DMV, because if you're sitting at the DMV, why not look at a screen and get some information for community resources? So we expect that to launch in the next fiscal quarter, and we'll be tracking data to see how effective those are, including demographic information to determine what communities we're hitting.
I did. I do have a question. I apologize. I've missed the last Measure K meeting because of snow in East Kern. But back in 2006 till 2014, we had dedicated MET members in East Kern. So I'm trying to understand what the challenge is, why it's taken a whole year, and we still don't have that service available.
Sure. So I'll clarify that we do have those services available to East Kern. They're just they're born out of Metro Bakersfield. So we dispatch from Bakersfield and respond to all of our East Kern communities. One of the things that became a challenge we released an RFP for this project, and we found that through our evaluation committee, we did not have an RFP submittal that met the criteria needed for the program. We quickly reorganized, looked at that criteria, and readjusted so that we were able to send out a second RFP. However, we did not receive any proposals for the second. It would have actually made the first proposal one that would qualify. So unfortunately, that didn't work out. However, what we did do is we began negotiations and discussions with a provider that's already located in East Kern because we felt that they were already established there and therefore would have a good geographical knowledge of the area that would be served. So we are currently in contract negotiations and expect to have that agreement up and running very shortly. And I do want to point out that a comment you made is also a reason why we chose East Kern, going back to your question. Snow, we have different road closures. So East Kern is really one of the biggest areas that we get cut off from whenever we have weather or road challenges. So we wanted to make sure that that community still had those resources if the canyon was closed, if the 58 was closed.
Yeah, I know that Bakersfield has a challenge with behavioral health services in finding employment as well, people, workers. So that's something that I have worked on, you know, trying to get the support for that as well. I know it's a huge crisis. It seems to be the link to so many of the problems that the county's experiencing. Mm-hmm. I would propose we double the budget. I'm just going to say it. It's just something that's so needed.
Elsa?
I mean, not my place to say that, but I think it is so needed, and it is one of society's problems. And I just, that would be the only thing, is thank you so much for bringing the services. But I think it's more is needed, and it really is something that's going to help solve society's problems.
And so, you're absolutely right. That is some of the feedback that we received from all vendors who attended our pre-RFP meeting. They all expressed concern about the ability to meet staffing requirements in the East Kern area. So we acknowledged that, and that was another reason why we started those conversations with an established operation.
Jeff, did you?
No. Thank you.
Sorry.
Anybody else on that? I have a question, which maybe I'm tromping into something, but I'm looking at the new initiatives, and you've got $1 million recommended for mental health facility and security. What is that?
Yeah, we'll be getting into that in just a second.
Oh, all right.
Those will be our next presentation.
Thank you, Julia.
I did want to share that there's work going on with Bakersfield College. I don't know if you guys are aware, to help with certificate programs so that we can expand the hiring capabilities. Just something that I've been working on with Bakersfield Recovery and Bakersfield.
Thank you.
I did have a question. Mm-hmm. Can some of these monies be used to lease and staff a crisis response team in this area, like a permanent? Or is that not?
Do you mean for a crisis response team in Bakersfield area, or in what
these
do we mean
areas
by?
In Lake Isabella area?
Yeah, so that's what this program is. It's going to be in that entire area. I don't know if you can expand.
I don't think
further.
So. Yeah, so we currently.
You're talking about the. Go ahead.
Oh, we currently operate 24/7. Mobile crisis response in Kern, in the greater Bakersfield area, that responds out to Lake Isabella.
Right, but okay, maybe I should rephrase my question. Okay. Is there currently a building out there that has staff that can respond? Because if there's snow, then these people that are in crisis, they can't get the help because there's storm or whatever. The roadway is blocked. Is it possible that with this money?
So the East Kern Mobile Crisis Unit evaluation team that we're doing will be out in East Kern. That's what this team is.
But it will be there. like
housed in East Kern,
correct. Okay.
Yes, not housed in Bakersfield.
Okay.
Yes.
Does I was getting sense? Clarity because it says mobile. When you say book mobile, you think of the book.
They're
mobile.
In cars. They respond
yeah,
in cars.
Yeah, but the, something where if somebody's having a crisis, they can easily go to this building and I need help.
So there is no building. They respond to where the crisis is. So you call and they come to you.
Right, but when you call, they're leaving from Bakersfield out
no,
there.
No, they're housed.
That's what I'm trying to understand.
Yes.
I'm sorry if I'm not understanding.
Yes. So the mobile crisis response team is housed in
these areas.
In East Kern. Their cars and the people are housed in East Kern, and
okay.
they will be dispatched
from there.
East Kern. Yes.
Okay.
Does that
I
help?
Was having a misunderstanding.
With okay.
There being snow and
sorry.
The people in need are
correct.
Having a crisis, not having
correct.
The
which
service
is,
available to them.
Yes. So that's why we wanted this team in East Kern. So we would not be dispatching from Bakersfield.
If I may, Commissioner, we also have a crisis unit. Behavioral health actually supports and pays for a crisis unit at Ridgecrest Hospital.
At Ridgecrest.
So if somebody's having a crisis, I know it's far. I mean, if I'm in Lake Isabella and I have to go all the way to Ridgecrest, it's very far. But they can go to Ridgecrest. There is a crisis unit within the hospital where somebody can just, you know, a family member can call 911 and they take them to that facility or they bring them down to Bakersfield. This program is a little bit different because we have, as Commissioner Subert, somebody may be having a crisis on the street and you want to call somebody and it's not a law enforcement issue, it's truly a crisis. So they'll may be able to call 988 and then we'll have the people get there where the crisis is happening. But if somebody wants to take, you know, has a crisis in East Kern right now, they're able to call 911 and they're transported to either the Ridgecrest CSU or they come to Bakersfield to our Mary Kay Shell facility as well. So there's those options. And I don't know if you're aware, but we most recently opened two psychiatric health facilities within Bakersfield. So not only after somebody goes through a crisis, if they need to a level of care that is beyond the crisis, now we have a facility both for adults and children, which I think is very unique now where adolescent and I think they go as 5 years old.
Yes.
We have beds where people that are having those crises can, you know, can stay in those locked facilities until that crisis passes. So those are different things that we're doing. I understand the concern about homelessness, and I want to make sure you are aware that with some of our other funding, we have the American Rescue Act plan funding, some federal dollars that we got. We were able to fund what we call a rapid response team, where mental health professionals make the connections with the homeless population to try to get them into services. That is a very challenging population. I'm sure they will tell you that it takes, I've been told that it takes up to 20 encounters with them to convince them to get services. So as we move forward, I'm sure you have heard of Prop 1 and SB 48. Those are two additional mandates that the state is putting on counties. So we are gonna have to address housing through Prop 1. The state is making available bonds to counties and cities to build affordable housing that is tied to the homeless population. So there's a lot of work being done. This project, I think, is something that we need to address the mobile unit in East Kern because we have community members that perhaps are not getting the services because the road is closed or because we have to dispatch somebody from Bakersfield. And this is, you know, this county is so big that we really need to position people in different areas of the county to be able to serve the community properly.
I had one other quick question, and I know you mentioned that you had, the services available in Ridgecrest at the hospitals. Is that something that you've considered? Because I know at one point Lake Isabella Hospital was in, you know, conversation about being able to serve. I know I've been in the emergency room, and I can't tell you how many times you're there, and somebody next to you is... And I mean, it's a very tiny, tiny hospital, but is there something that can be done to support the little hospital there? Because it's bad when you go in.
Yeah, currently our Ridgecrest CSU is right across the street from the Ridgecrest Hospital, so it's not inside the hospital, but literally like right across the street from the hospital, similar to the way Mary Kay Shell is across the parking lot from Kern Medical. So it's located extremely close. So there's that solid partnership and work in partnership with the hospital, which is very important. And so that's how we're operating right now. Currently, Tanya and I are working with the California Hospital Association and meeting with the hospital CEOs monthly with the Behavioral Health Committee to work on some of these key hospital issues, especially in the EDs, to kind of have this Behavioral Health Committee so we can help partner with them to find solutions on how we can work together.
To me, this is almost the most exciting part of our conversation.
I'm glad. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Obviously, we're all concerned about homelessness. It just can't help ourselves. Did you want to continue on then with the...
I think we move on.
So, Julia, I believe... Thank you, Julia. We're going to move on to our new investments for our new project for next fiscal year. I'm going to have Alex Alba go over the first few ones that are either park-related or we have Sierra Way. I'm sure you heard on the news on Sierra Way. We've been working on Sierra Way for months, but this is an ask for that project, not because it's on the news, because we've been working on how to fund that project for months through grants to our own allocation. So Alex Alba is going to go through some of the new initiatives that we have.
So some of these new initiatives include improvements to our parks throughout the community that are visited and used by residents in the unincorporated areas of Kern County. The investment of $300,000 provides funding for the necessary repairs and improvements for the Ford City Park restroom and leverages Measure K dollars to enhance the already budgeted project in Ford City. The new initiatives also includes an investment of $250,000 at Fuller Acres Park to construct shade structures over play equipment areas and benches. The investment of $323,000 will enhance the lighting at Northwest Ballfield. This project will provide LED fixtures on existing poles at the ball field. Finally, the investment of $767,699 will leverage Measure K funds to draw down additional federal funds for the Sierra Way Reconstruct project. Due to the 2023 storm event and Hurricane Hillary, roads were significantly damaged, especially in East Kern. And like Elsa mentioned, Kern County Public Works has been working diligently to keep the county roads open and safe. And this proposal will assist the department to improve the transportation system in Kern County to ensure that the county roads are safe for the public and open for emergency services such as police, fire, or ambulance. Your Public Works Director, Josh Chaplin, is present in case there are any direct questions. Also, your Chief General Services Officer, Jeffrey Hill, and Senior CAO Manager, Michelle Burns-Lucich, are also present if there's any additional questions on any of the parks projects or the Sierra Way Reconstruct.
Sierra Way Reconstruct. I'm very excited about that. I just was curious. It is so ridiculous how much it's social media and how much, see what happens when there's a fire. I know. I wanted to post on there. It's already proposed in the budget. But I did want to ask for the federal funding, because I know that is a significant problem. How much is the federal funding? Because I look at that and I think, wow, from what I understand from the architectural nightmare that is, the $800,000, almost $800,000, is that going to be enough to really make a permanent fix? Because I know this has happened over and over again with the alluvial fans and everything that goes on there. Is that sufficient to solve this once and for all?
I think when it rains, there's no once and for all. I have a property in Caliente Creek, and I cannot tell you how many times we fix our road. I mean, it's just... but I think this project, what it will do, is a match. The 767 is the match for a grant. So the project is over $7 million. So it's a significant investment. We're just asking for the match. Again, we apply for the grant. We're going to proceed with the project whether we get the grant or not. We're going to use the 767 whether we get the grant or not. Our department and our board is committed to fixing it. Again, you know, when it rains, it rains. I wish I could tell you it's a permanent solution and that road is never going to happen, but we can make that commitment. We're going to try to fix it to make it safe for our residents, and then if it happens again, we're going to have to fix it again. I know there was a short-term solution that perhaps people thought they were confused that saying, oh, they just, and then it got, you know, damaged again. It was a short-term solution until we we're able to find a more permanent solution. This is our what we call not a permanent, but more permanent solution. And hopefully we don't have a storm again as we did. I mean, it was a major storm. You look at the pictures of, we have parks that were completely gone. We have, Alex, correct me, we have over $40 million of FEMA projects due to the damage of the storm. This road did not qualify for FEMA. We submitted it. We were told, nope, this road doesn't qualify. So we got back to the drawing board and said, okay, we need to fix it. Let's apply for other funding. Let's figure out. They were working on the design to hopefully make a more permanent solution. And I think they're ready, as you heard on the news, they're ready to move forward and start that project.
Okay. Any other questions or comments on that? Okay, go ahead.
Our next request is for it's a very small investment, but we think it's a very important investment. So Joseph Arriola is going to walk you over that one.
Good evening. The goal of the Sheriff's Activity League is to steer at-risk youth away, from unhealthy and negative influences, build trust, and improve community relationships. However, our existing operations are limited. The county seeks to expand the sheriff's existing Sheriff's Activity League through the hire of one extra help coordinator and the acquisition of supplies, equipment, and advertising in the amount of approximately $112,000 to improve engagement with youth and the community at large.
I'm so sorry, I have so many questions.
No, that's okay.
So I know that up in Lake Isabella, they don't currently have anyone that is, you know, operating the Sheriff's Activity League. Is that a volunteer position? How does that work? I mean, this is one that's going to help oversee, but how do the sheriffs that are doing this, how do they get reimbursed? Is it volunteer?
It's administered by our sheriff's office presently, deputies, and I believe one of our chiefs oversees that program. But correct me if I'm wrong, I believe the sheriff is here. It's done through a non-for-profit, administered by the sheriff, but a non-for-profit. Our next project within new initiatives is the probation, mental health trailer, and security enhancements. The U.S. Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention estimates up to 70% of youth within the juvenile justice system have significant mental health issues resulting from biological and environmental factors, including exposure to trauma, violence, stress, and separation. The Kern County Probation Department plays an important role in the provision of care and support of at-promise youth housed within the Youth Detention Center in partnership with the Kern County Behavioral Health and Recovery Services Juvenile Probation Psychiatric Services Division. The existing space where services are conducted is at its useful end of life and does not provide sufficient space to host group or individual sessions with at-promise youth. To improve outcomes, $1 million is requested for the provision of an effective, confidential, and secure treatment of all at-promise youth within the Youth Detention Center. And finally, our targeted spay and neuter program. The Kern County Board of Supervisors annually dedicates $500,000 to the spay and neuter of animals received at the Kern County Animal Services Facility and at mobile clinics countywide. A dedicated spay and neuter program is believed to be the most effective and humane method to prevent unplanned litters and improve overall animal welfare. Due to increased rates of pet ownership, economic strain, and limited community veterinary resources, the department has recorded annual growth in receiving animals each fiscal year since 2021 through 2022. Kern County Animal Services forecasts a 21% increase in animal intake compared to fiscal year 22 to 23, more than any year since fiscal year 2015 to 2016. Over 50% of those animals received in this fiscal year have been under 5 months of age. an additional $500,000 of Measure K funding, sufficient to facilitate approximately 52 mobile clinics in the next fiscal year, is requested for the targeted spay and neuter services in high volume and hard to reach areas of unincorporated Kern County. That concludes my remarks. I am joined by the Director of Animal Services and the Sheriff and our probation department if you have any questions.
No, thank you.
So those are our new initiatives. I mentioned to you what are your role and responsibilities, ask questions, provide advice. If you support those initiatives, what we will do, we'll incorporate those into our preliminary budget. We heard you about the need of mental health. We can go and work with the department and see. It is hard to get a vendor. It is going to even get harder as we move forward with the state changes that are coming our way with behavioral health, but we can definitely explore at some options, especially if we're looking at the Lake Isabella or other areas of the county, if that's what your board wants to provide us advice on. But our recommendation right now will be for you to approve the preliminary budget. We'll incorporate it in our county budget. It will be in front of the board June 25th, and then hopefully for final approval in front of the board in August. So this concludes our presentation, and if you're happy to answer any other questions you may have at this point.
From the committee?
I'd like to go back to the fire department.
Go ahead.
I do have a question for the fire department on the expansion of the medical units.
Good evening, sir. My name is Chief Deputy Denicio Mitchell.
Good evening. I just wondered what criteria you might be using with the goal of having six more units in the field in the coming year, how you're going to determine where those new units are going to go.
Well, essentially right now what we're doing is analyzing the current six units we do have to set up, the areas we want to expand upon. And a lot of that's based upon the advanced life care that we are implementing right now in conjunction with the services we're providing with fire services, emergency services in that part, right? A perfect example of what was yesterday when we had the three working fires, utilizing those medical units right behind that, we don't have to then pull resources from some of those outlying areas, unincorporated areas, and keep them staffed. So we have them flexed right now out there. You guys mentioned that we had 11 saved lives earlier. That number already went up to 14. And so we're pulling that data to see where we are making that, we're making a good case in terms of stabilizing the call volume and making sure stuff continues to give that medical care. We're trying to push outward is what we're doing, but it is based upon that call volume and then also how we're flexing our resources to get the right tool to the right job, essentially, right? Keep the fire trucks and those things moving towards fires and those types of rescue events and keeping medical units with advanced life care towards medical unit calls. So that's still oncoming right now. We're getting right on bond. There's six units really soon right here coming up with the additional squad as well. The pulling of the data, we're making all our metrics, which is great. But keeping the advanced life care available has been the biggest thing to do, and not tying up fire resources on that still by providing that care. We're really looking as that news story did state. We do have high call volume in Oildale, East Bakersfield, some of those areas, but that does strain into also into the mountain regions in terms of the Paiutes. I'm sorry, Fraser Park, a lot of the Rift River Valley. We have the Lamont areas, some of those areas on the unincorporated areas that extend out in those deals. So if we can get data enough to support how we're working with fire and EMS and those, and then put that together and see where it makes those significant impacts, that's where we're going to expand outward. But I think this year already we're seeing a difference in terms that we have a heightened fire season going on right now. We have the most fire acre burns in the entire state. Into the terms, we've already burned more acres this year than we did all of last year combined already. So with that already being a mission that's taking place, we have not affected medical services, which I think is significant, especially in the unincorporated areas and the urban interface areas. That's where we're going to have some big challenges, to make sure we have those services available for you.
Thank you. And like my fellow committee member from Eastern, it's a long run sometimes for haul ambulance out to Stallion Springs and Bear Valley and out into Willow Springs and Sand Canyon. So, yeah.
Absolutely, and we have flex services already up into the Tehachapi area along that to include some of the Stallion Springs, outlying areas of Tehachapi to like Golden Hills into Bear Valley and some of that. We're experimenting and putting units out there and trying to collect some of that data to see what kind of impact that has, because much like those areas, we get one wildland in that area, which you guys know is always the risk. What do we have left behind to take care of the rest of those communities, right? So that's what we want to see to make sure that we are hitting good areas and those services that advanced life care is coming through. And that's kind of an area that you bring up that we're actually trying to look at to see if that may assist there on that. Because we, unique to that area, that is a big state response area for us. So we get tapped out real quick there because we are the only ones going that area, right? So we need to make sure medically we're still covered there to make sure the service is available. So that is definitely an area we're looking to push into and studying and seeing with analytics pull back. When you talk about that, to that mountain region and even to that desert size that floats, the reason why there's one out in 15 of Roseman right now trying to do stuff out there. So yeah, we hear you on that for sure. Absolutely. That's one I mentioned. We are trying to look at the Kern River Valley area and some of that that's unique to Lake Isabella. We understand that too. You have one wildland response up there. We're throwing 5 to 7 units at that at any given time, and then they're tied on those for hours. So what do we have for backflow on that? So the good news already with the units, the med units and squads, is that we're already still keeping the integrity of engine companies available. So you're still not looking at where in tradition in the old past, if we had thrown our old response at that, you're probably looking at 45 to 60 minute responses at that point. Right now, that's cutting way down because we're still keeping those resources available to have that there. But yes, the Kern River Valley, you know, into Caliente, Paiute, a lot of those areas where there are long response times, those are definite areas that we need to look at how we work out, how we flex our fire to EMS responses to make sure that the analytics match to what we're doing and serving the people.
Yes.
Well, we have great support by that, and we've been supported very well through CAO's office, the board, your guys' committee. So we're just trying to make sure it puts forth what you guys are looking for.
Thank you.
Yes. Yep.
Thank you.
Other questions from the board before I ask for public comment?
I do see Director Cullen from Animal Services in the back, and I'm very happy to see the $500,000 for the targeted spay and neuter.
Seeing none, are there public comments or questions from the audience? Seeing none, I'll request a motion.
The gentleman in the white shirt, did you have something?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment.
Yes. Sorry.
Yeah, just Danny Rodella, community organizer with Faith in the Valley. Thank you so much, Measure K Committee, for the time. I know I said it at the beginning, but I just want to reiterate it. I'm here not representing necessarily an organization, but I'm here to extend the voice of our community as well, that in Taft, Ford City, South Taft, surrounding rural communities, parks are probably one of the only green spaces that we have where families could recreate. So definitely for us, parks are sacred, and for you all to be able to make the recommendation for this to be approved in terms of Measure K funding for improvements at the park, at Ford City Park, I think the community would appreciate that very much. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, a motion to recommend this Measure K as presented budget to the Board of Supervisors.
I second. Laura seconds. I second.
Did you catch that? Okay, and the second was Laura. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Wonderful. Thank you very much to Ms. Martinez and the staff. Thank you all for showing up here and being available for the questions and so forth that we have. We appreciate the work that you do, and we are adjourned.
So we do have one more
item. Yeah, one more item. Shoot, we have to have another meeting.
We do.
Unadjourned.
So what we could get back to you, but we will set up another meeting. As I mentioned, we'll present this to the Board of Supervisors, and as a requirement of ordinance will be in front of you as early as January, presenting the results, presenting the final numbers, the revenue collections, and hopefully if our revenue estimates hold, maybe perhaps enhancing services at that time. So we'll hopefully set up a meeting with you, and we'll see you in January.
All right. Thank you. And board, thank you. Good job.
Thank you.
Now we're adjourned.